Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about a very, very important subject. If you don't already know this, you need to know now. America must stand with Israel. A pastor friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and he said, I believe that the reason America has not been judged by God is that we continue to support Israel and we continue to support missions. And you know what? I concur with that statement. The Lord has blessed this country, and as I heard another man say, 86% of what happens on the mission field, either by the folks we send or by the finances we send, comes from the United States of America. And because God said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, God continues to bless this country because we are still doing something about what He told us to do. And not only that, and probably more importantly, we still support Israel. Our alliance with them, our support for them, I'm afraid, is waning. I'm afraid there's a strain in it. And so it's all the more reason to preach this message today. America must stand with Israel. And I've got three reasons from the scripture. I could give you more, but three will be enough why we must stand with Israel. First of all, America must stand with Israel because God blesses those nations that bless Israel. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, you read this, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that's what God said to Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. You saw what Balaam did when he attempted, wanted to curse Israel. Israel turned on the Midianites and destroyed them. The Amalekites came after Israel when they were in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 17, and God said, I will destroy the name of Amalek from under the earth. And I mean, he got them. And that's what happens to all those nations. The Babylonians came in, and they were actually servants of God, took the thing too far, and in 70 years, God punished them and destroyed the Chaldeans. Listen, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now, God said the same thing to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, and I'm showing it to you again because in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. In Genesis chapter 22, after Abraham had proved his love to the Lord by complying obediently with the request that Isaac be sacrificed. Abraham believed God. If he were willing to take his son up to Moriah to sacrifice him, he certainly believed that God meant to continue the seed through Isaac, either by interrupting, which is what he did, the sacrifice, and substituting with a ram, which is what Jesus Christ did for us, or by resurrecting Isaac after he'd been killed, which is what Jesus Christ did to prove that we have eternal life. This episode in Genesis chapter 22 puts Abraham to the test as to whether or not he really and truly believes the covenant that God had made with him. And he believed it, or he would have never gone through with this sacrifice. So when he completed it, the Lord said to him in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast not, or hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now you get that. America must stand with Israel because God blesses those nations that bless Israel. You say, well, that promise was made to Abraham, and Abraham had two sons. Okay, let's see where that promise went. Turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, before Isaac is born. God said unto Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 9, and notice, while we're in Genesis chapter 17, notice the context. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee," he's talking to Abraham, "and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now mention the context to let you know that the next thing he's going to say to Abraham concerning Isaac deals not only with the everlasting covenant that God would bless the nations that bless Israel and curse them that cursed Israel, but that God would make a covenant with them regarding the land as well. We're going to look at that in the third point. But since we're still dealing with the first point, God blesses those nations that bless Israel, we see where God made that promise to Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." Notice what he says concerning Isaac. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9, God said unto Abraham, "Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." This is my covenant, okay? Now watch. Genesis chapter 26, verse 4. Genesis 26, 4. God is speaking to Isaac, and he's coming forth from the oath that was sworn to Abraham. He says that in Genesis 26, verse 3, "Thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Watch it. Verse 4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries." Watch it. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So God made the covenant with Abraham, but then he made the covenant with Isaac. "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Well, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. So you know what God said? The same thing to Jacob that he said to Abraham and that he said to Isaac. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28 and look at verse 14. Speaking to Jacob, the Lord says, "Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth." We're in Genesis 28:14. "And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So it goes Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to his seed, 12 tribes. So we know the line of the blessing did not include Ishmael and his descendants. It is to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's descendants. It's to Israel. That statement that God made in Genesis 28:14 confirms the blessing of Isaac upon Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, verse 29. When Isaac is blessing Jacob in Genesis chapter 27, verse 29. He said, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." That is a promise, a blessing, a curse from Abraham to Isaac down to Jacob and right on to Jacob's seed. Do you see that? So America must stand with Israel because God blesses those nations that bless Israel and curses those nations that curse Israel. There's no way. There's no way. You say, "Well, I don't like the personality of the person that holds office." Doesn't make any difference whether you like the personality of the person that's in the office or not. The covenant is with the nation. And that's why we must stand with Israel. But that's not all. America must stand with Israel because God blesses those nations that bless Israel. That's the first thing. America must stand with Israel because God judges nations based upon how they treat Israel. Turn with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25. Some folks in Israel are afraid to read the New Testament. But I'm going to tell you something. The New Testament is written by Jews as well. And the Savior, the Messiah, is Jewish as well. The King is a Jew. You have to understand that. The New Testament is not against Israel. The New Testament is not against Jews. The Bible says in John chapter 4 that salvation is of the Jews. So don't be afraid now that we've gone to the New Testament concerning these promises and why America must stand with Israel, because you find one of the greatest reasons in Matthew chapter 25. And the reason is God judges nations based upon how they treat Israel. We are in Matthew chapter 25, and we're in verse 31. "When the Son of Man," that's Jesus Christ, "shall come in his glory," that hasn't happened yet, second coming, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." That's going to be the throne of David. He's going to be sitting in Jerusalem. "Before him shall be gathered all nations." All right, that's going to include the United States of America. "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," that is unto the sheep, "Come ye," watch it, "blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was an hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king, that's Jesus, "shall answer and say unto them," that's the sheep nations, the ones that are blessed of the Father, "In as, verily I say unto you, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren," those are Jews, "you've done it unto me." You understand, God judges nations based upon how they treat Israel. And when Israel's naked and you clothe them, sick and you visit them, prison and you come unto them, stranger and take them in, thirsty and give them drink, hungry and give them meat, and so forth, you're doing that as unto the Lord, and that nation is blessed of the Father and inherits the kingdom prepared for it. Do you understand? Pay close attention to the fact that the sheep nations will be blessed of the Father because they take care of Christ's brethren. That's the Jews. And take notice of this. The goat nations will be cursed because they refuse to help Christ's brethren. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. And then they're going to say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, thirst, stranger, naked, sick, prison, and didn't minister to thee? He shall say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And he's talking about the Jews, talking about Israel. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let me tell you something. We have done enough as a nation. I'm talking about with abortion. I'm talking about with same-sex marriage. Okay? Those kinds of things. With evolution, kicking Bible and prayer out of school. We've done enough as a nation to warrant God's judgment against us. And yet we're still blessed. And really, there are only two reasons that you can see in what's going on now why God would bless us. And one of those, the major one, is we haven't turned our back on His people. Now, there are many in our nation who would, and you've seen what's happened recently in Washington. But I'm going to tell you something. We cannot turn our back on Israel. America must stand with Israel. Why? Because God blesses those nations that bless Israel. That's the promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes, and to those nations that support them and bless them. And number two, America must stand with Israel because God judges nations based upon how they treat Israel. Now you, if you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but there is a place reserved in eternity, an inheritance prepared for by the Father for nations that support Israel. I'd like to see America there. All right, I'll give you another reason, the third reason. America must stand with Israel because not only does God bless those nations that bless Israel and judge those nations based upon how they treat Israel, but America must stand with Israel because God made a covenant with Israel by which we must abide. Now, I referred to that covenant earlier in the message when we looked at the land grant in Genesis chapter 17. So let's just go to Psalm 105 and see the condensed version of this in Psalm 105, verses 8 through 12, because it's very simple. And it encompasses everything that God said to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes concerning this very matter right here. Psalm 105, verses 8 through 12. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Well, I'll tell you, sweetheart, we hadn't been through 1,000. We are a long way from that. Verse 9. Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel, that's the 12 tribes, the nation about which we're speaking now, for an everlasting covenant. What is it? Verse 11, Psalm 105, 11, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, very few, and strangers in it. Listen, in Psalm 105, verses 8 through 12, the psalmist recounts the covenant that God made with Israel regarding the land of Canaan. Now, honestly, God's covenant with Israel goes beyond Canaan. But suffice it to say, we can just talk about Canaan and we've already got a problem. Because the land of Canaan is the land that is bordered by the Mediterranean Sea on the west side and the Jordan River on the east. And that was God's land. He said, I give the land of Canaan. That was God's land, and God gave that land to Israel as an inheritance. For 1,000 generations, we're not even close. Not even close, maybe 200. Listen, folks. Listen very carefully. The two-state solution is a godless contrivance of man that is contrary to God's promise to Israel. Listen to me again. The two-state solution is a godless contrivance of man that is contrary to God's promise to Israel. Do I need to say it again? Well, just in case I do, the two-state solution is a godless contrivance of man that is contrary to God's promise to Israel. It will not work. Period. End of story. Why? Because God did not give that land to two states. He gave it to Israel. You hear references to the West Bank. Look at the map. It's half. It runs from the Jordan River halfway across the country toward the Mediterranean Sea. That's no bank. That's misnamed to throw you off to think that Palestine has just a little bitty sliver and a piece. That's not so. No amount of land given to Palestinians will ever result in peace in the Middle East. I'll say it again. No amount of land given to Palestinians will ever result in peace in the Middle East. The design of the Arab nations, you have to understand this, is not just to get another state in the land of Canaan or in Palestine. Listen, the design of the Arab nations is to ultimately wipe out the existence of the nation of Israel. Have you not ever read Psalm 83? Listen, in Psalm 83, you have, look, you don't need to read the newspaper to find out about this. You don't need to watch the news to find out about this. Read the Bible. In Psalm 83, verse 3, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. That's where Israel's going to be during the tribulation. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And then he names the nations. I'm going to tell you something. You really need to understand this. When you hear discussions about ISIS or Iran and its nuclear enrichment of uranium, when you hear about the Muslim Brotherhood and these various forces that are at work now trying to see who's going to be the lead Muslim nation to lead the other ones in the Confederacy, you are hearing about nations who hate Israel and therefore hate God and therefore hate America because we stand with Israel and therefore hate the Bible because it's the book that explains everything I'm telling you today. And they are not interested in negotiation. They are interested in annihilation. Make sure you understand that. God made a covenant with Israel by which we must abide. We cannot let that happen to Israel. We must continue to be the one nation who will stand in the way of all attempts to accomplish their annihilation. Now, I know they're not going to be annihilated. You know that. Jesus Christ is going to intervene. I realize that Jesus Christ is the one who will ultimately save Israel from extinction. You need to read that. You need to understand that I don't believe Israel's hope is in America. I believe Israel's hope is in Jesus Christ, okay? But I believe America's hope is in Israel. Now, that I do believe. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Watch it, verses 2 and 3. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. That is a bad situation taking place right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But watch it, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And that's when Israel is ultimately saved and ultimately delivered and ultimately rescued from this evil plan. I tell you what, I don't want to see America. I don't want to see America turn its back on Israel. Knowing what's going to happen there, I don't want us to be fighting against Israel, because if we are, we'll be fighting against the Lord. And that's the last thing in the world we need to do. So until the Lord comes to deliver Israel, we need to stand opposed. Listen, we need to stand opposed to all nations who are opposed to Israel. One more time. We need to stand opposed to all nations who are opposed to Israel. America must stand with Israel because God blesses those nations that bless Israel. America must stand with Israel because God judges nations based upon how they treat Israel. America must stand with Israel because God made a covenant with Israel by which we must abide, and it concerns the occupation of that land and their statehood in it. No matter what, America must stand with Israel. The Iran threat is real. Now, our nations are discussing right now what to do about the limitations on nuclear activity in Iran. I'm going to tell you what. They need to do everything they possibly can to stop it. The facilities Iran has currently enriching uranium are vastly greater than what they would need for generating power. Just, you got to know that. They're even enriching plutonium. They don't need plutonium for power. They need that for bombs. They have a design on building bombs. Do you understand? Listen, if you thought Hitler's threats to our liberty were bad, if you thought Japan's threats to our liberty were bad back in World War II, you won't believe the kind of threats we're going to be under if Iran can utilize nuclear bombs. You're not even going to believe it. Listen, make sure that you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and make sure that you stand with Israel. And if I were you and you were concerned about your country, I would make sure I knew where our elected officials stand on Israel. Because you need to make sure that we have elected officials that stand with Israel, okay? You need to make sure of that. Because the existence of our nation and ultimately the inheritance of this nation depends on not forgetting God and not forgetting Israel. And I can't make it any clearer than I've made it today. I pray that you understand clearly what the Bible says about our nation and the nation of Israel. And may God bless you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.